All right. Can everyone hear me in the back? All right. I got one thumbs up. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right. Well, it's so good to be here. It's so good to be able to share with you a little bit from God's Word. Right off the bat, but you guys, I don't know if you have baseball over here or anything, so I got to be careful what I say. Cricket, there you go. I just want to apologize straight away. I am an American. I'm a recovering American. There's a lot of things that I'm still getting used to. I've lived here since 2011, and every single day I'm reminded of what a foreigner I am. And so there's a lot of things I might say or do that might be a little bit different or odd or weird. I know about that. I'm working on that. I'm doing my best. My wife is not here to remind me of these things. In America, pastors tend to preach a little bit differently and are a bit different in general. So if there's any sort of helpful advice, don't just come up to me and slap me. After the service, please come and talk to me, because I'm always learning and I'm always thankful to be able to open up God's Word and be able to preach it anywhere I go. But I also want to do it in a setting and a context that would be helpful and beneficial to you, the hearer. So please, just come up to me afterwards and just speak with me. It's such a blessing to be in this country. It's such a blessing to be able to just do the work of the ministry. But I'd be remiss if I didn't have a chance to introduce my friend, Justin. He's right there. He's a colleague of mine. He moved over in February as well. He's a pastor as well, and he's come over to work with us. And so we're working together as far as where we want a church plant or where we want a pastor. And so, like I said earlier, we're just praying about where God would have us. And it's really a big thing, but once again, we know that we serve a mighty and wonderful and sovereign Lord, and so if he can bring us all the way over to England, he can obviously guide and direct us of where we need to go. So I would just ask you, just for the next couple weeks or months, if you do remember us, just remember to pray for us as far as our family, where he would guide and direct us. But enough about that. If you can turn back with me to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be talking a lot about prayer. We're going to be talking a lot about worry, about anxiousness. I love what David said earlier about describing life as a storm. When I think about life and I think about the storms of life, a friend of mine, and it's probably a very common saying, but he said it to me when we were going through a storm, where every believer, every person is in one of three circumstances, one of three situations. You're either going into a storm, or you're in the midst of a storm, or you're just coming out of a storm. It seems like we're just moving from storm to storm to storm. And one of the things I love about this passage that we're going to read, and we're going to dive into it and look very specifically about these words, but it's one of those things that where we can have peace in the midst of any storm that we go through. That's the thing that God promises his followers, that we can have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And it doesn't promise us that we're not going to go through those storms, because we know that we'll be going through those storms, but we can have that peace that the world will never understand, but that we can have that peace that keeps us through the midst of those things. And we can be so thankful for that. And I don't have to ask any of you to raise your hands, but just think to yourself, think about those storms that you've gone through. All of us have gone through some trials and some tribulations, some storms of our life, some small, some very, very big, some life-changing that changes our life for forever. And some of us right now are probably not even listening to me, because you're thinking about that thing that you're going to have to deal with coming out of the service, coming through this week, next week, this month. You're thinking about that issue that you're going through right now. And one of the things that I want us to look at this morning is, what do we do as believers? What do we do as followers of God when we're going through these storms of life? How do we approach it? What's the solution? Where do we run to? And what I'd like to look at this morning is, as Christians, as followers of God, we really have to look to the Word of God for all of our answers, obviously. And when we think about worry, we think how we know it's a state of anxiousness or anxiety over uncertain of actual or potential events. But for the Christian, it can mean so much more. It can be one of those things where we're not fully trusting in God to do what he says he's going to do. Or it could be consistently focusing on the negative instead of the positive. That's a problem that I usually have. You know, we always think about the negative things instead of the positive things. Or for an issue for many of us, it's holding on to those troubling issues, not letting go of those troubling issues and giving it to the Lord. But we see in this passage in Philippians chapter 4, I'm just going to go ahead and read it quickly once more, just specifically two verses, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, that says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time, and then we'll continue on with the rest of the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful that we can come to you in all things. We're so thankful that we can call you our Father. We're so thankful that you look out for us and you know what's best for us. We're so thankful for all the many blessings that you pour out each and every day, even ones that we might not be thinking about. Lord, I pray that you'd just please be with us this morning as we search your scriptures, and we ask these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. So, Paul here in this passage, writing to the Philippians, he gives really the ultimate solution of what it is to overcome worry. And that's really what I want to be focusing on this morning, is how do we as Christians overcome worry? How do we conquer the anxiousness, the worry that can come about from seemingly anywhere, whether it's an email or a phone call or a person coming up to you on the high street and giving you news that is life-changing? How do we as Christians respond? And here, Paul in this passage, he gives us the ultimate means for us to fight anxiousness, for us to conquer worry, and that is through prayer. That is through prayer. And that should be the number one thing that we go to in our toolbox whenever anything happens in our lives. We go to the Lord in prayer. So what I'd like to do is just give you a little bit of an outline. If you'd like to follow on, or if you want to write it down, feel free. Or if you have a really good memory, I'm going to quiz you on this afterwards. So I want to make sure you're paying attention. But the first way we as Christians can overcome worry in our lives is by first praying about everything. Praying about everything. We see this in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation." In every situation. This is what Paul is saying to us in this passage. Now, this doesn't mean that we got to pray about every single thing before we can get worry out of our lives. What this means is that we can have that confidence that regardless of the situation, we can go to the Lord in anything. We can bring our petitions and our requests to God. By praying about everything, we as believers can entrust ourselves completely in the hands of a sovereign and loving Heavenly Father. I'm going to give you a few passages. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. If you want to write them down, feel free. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 27, it says, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God, for God's people in accordance with the will of God." We see that the sovereign and loving Heavenly Father answers our prayers according to His will. So we know that God is sovereign. We know He's in control. We know that He loves us if you're following after Him, you're that believer following after Him. And we know that He wants what is best for us. And He's going to answer these prayers according to what He knows is best, according to His will. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, just a few verses after this passage that we read, it says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." We see that the sovereign and loving Heavenly Father not only answers our petitions, our prayers according to His will, but He does it by His provision. He does it by His provision. So we can go to the Lord knowing that He has all the means capable to answering prayer. But it's going to be, once again, according to His will. And we as followers can have that confidence in Him that if it's according to His will, God will answer our prayers. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that comforting to know that we can go to the Lord in any situation and anything happening in our lives, we can go to Him and He will answer our prayers according to His will and by His provision? I remember, and this is just really a silly example, but I remember when I was in seminary, And, you know, being a poor seminary student, you know, you don't have a lot of money. And I remember my car was starting to make funny noises, as it often does. And I'm not a mechanic. I'm not very handsy. I don't know how to do all that stuff. If I have any problems, I just call Justin, and he takes care of it for me. And I remember my car was acting up, and so I took it to the mechanic, and of course the mechanic is giving me all of this information, and I'm just like, it's going over my head. I have no idea what he's talking about. And I was like, okay, what's the bottom line? And he said, well, it's going to cost you over $1,000. And I was like, whew, okay, you know, I don't have that sort of money. I'm just a poor seminary student. Where am I going to get this sort of money? And I started freaking out. I started, being very worried. I didn't know what to do. And of course, I kind of came to my senses, and I thought, well, what should I be doing about this? I should actually go to the Lord in prayer through this situation. And I just started praying, and I started praying throughout that day, through the next day, just praying, Lord, if this is what you want, obviously you're going to provide the means to be able to take care of this, but it would be great if this car could get fixed in some other miraculous sort of way. And of course, I go back to the mechanic. He has my car all ready to go. And I said, well, that was awfully fast. How did you fix it? Because it sounded like it was some sort of cracked engine block or whatever. And he said, oh, it was just a $25 rubber ring to go on it to seal up some, I don't even know what he was saying. Once again, it went over my head. But all I knew was it was $25. And I just remember thinking how incredible that was, a problem that sounded like it was going to be $1,000, which I think in pounds is like 3 pounds. So it's really not that much for you guys. Went from $1,000 to $25, and I just remember how incredible that was and how I was praising the Lord, and I was sharing that with everybody and sharing that with my family, who was very happy that they wouldn't have to foot the bill. But what am I saying about all this? I'm saying that, listen, I want to make clear, obviously, if it was going to be a $1,000 problem or a $25 problem, it doesn't matter, because we're going to give that to the Lord in prayer. And he's going to provide for that according to his will and his provision. I still would have praised him whether it was $1,000. I still would have praised him if it was $25. But we bring these things to the Lord. So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, what do we do as believers? Before we even get up in the morning, we should start our day off with prayer. Before we even get out of bed, let's just thank the Lord for another day. Before we get into our morning routine, we should have that devotion time where we open up the Word of God and we search the Scriptures and we pray and we just thank God for everything that He's done. Before we do anything major, whether it's buying a house or buying a car or moving across the Atlantic, whatever we do, we should give that to the Lord. Search the Scriptures. Pray to Him. Give that to God. So that's the first thing I want us to think about when we as Christians, how do we overcome worry? We pray about everything. Very simple, very standard, but this is necessary for us as we walk throughout our day. Pray about everything. The second thing we see in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. So the second way how we as Christians can overcome worry is by praying with thanksgiving. Praying with thanksgiving. So we just pray about everything, but we also have to pray with thanksgiving. In our household, especially having 3 kids, it's something that we have to talk about time and time again. When they get something, when someone gives them something, what do we tell our kids to say? We tell them to say thank you. You know, it's so important to teach our kids to have that attitude of gratitude. You know, we say that all the time, to have that attitude of gratitude. We don't want to raise children who are expectant, are those self-centered, me, me, me. But we all have to understand that everything we have is literally a blessing from God. We don't deserve anything. And God pours out these blessings upon us. We need to have that attitude of gratitude. By praying with thanksgiving, we can focus on the blessings that God has already provided for us. We can focus on the blessings that God has provided for us. I think of Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 19 and 20. Here's what it says. It says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. A very familiar passage. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in everything that we do, we give thanks. What are some things that God has provided for us? Now, be very general, but I'm going to ask you guys, this is your time now to respond. What are some things that God has given us? Just in general. You don't have to get too specific. I don't want to hear anything too specific, but... Family. Right on. Say that again. Breath of life. Yeah, we don't know when that next breath is going to come from, and we're so thankful when we have that. Family. I think about, I know you guys don't celebrate this. It's weird living in a foreign country. I got to tell you guys, but we just celebrated Thanksgiving last Thursday, and I apologize about all that Black Friday business, sales and whatnot. That came from America. It's awful in America, and so please don't enjoy the Black Friday sales. Don't go to it at all. But yeah, Thanksgiving is a real big holiday, and we think about family. We think about all this stuff. Anything else?
Food on the table,
absolutely. I was thinking about that yesterday when I'm over at my friend's house eating all his food. Such a blessing. And I think about these, and we can kind of lump some of these things as physical, earthly blessings. You know, we're provided, God provides these physical, earthly blessings that we don't deserve. We think about all over the world how much we have that we should be grateful for. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." I love that passage. I love that because he's just giving it to us. In all things, at all times, that we can have all the things necessary so that we can abound for every good work. Just a little side note, and I apologize about this, but this is one of those instances where we see that we are blessed to be a blessing for other people. God has blessed us abundantly so that we can abound for every good work. It's not for us to keep it to ourselves. It's not for us to hoard these blessings upon ourselves, but it's to have that generous heart, to have that generous spirit, to pour it out upon so many people. And God has given us physical, earthly blessings to share, to bless others with. But we also have to think, what are some other areas of God's blessing in our lives? And I think about the other side of that coin, where God has given us spiritual blessings, poured out that spiritual love and kindness that only Christ can give to us. It was mentioned earlier, a little bit, that passage from John 14:2. "My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place? Would I have not told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" So God is not just providing physical, earthly blessings, but he's providing spiritual, heavenly blessings. And he's doing these things to prepare a place for those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we see that God is just pouring out abundantly upon us. I almost think of it kind of like a jacket potato, right? How many you guys love your jacket potatoes? Everywhere I go, it's like, "Do you want a jacket potato?" And I'm like, "No, I don't want any part of that thing that grows in the ground." But I see you guys, and you open it up, and you put, what do you put on a jacket potato? Cheese, chili. Oh, see, a man after my own heart. Thank you so much. We put some chili on there. Some cheese. What else? Butter. You can't have a jacket potato without butter. I mean, just a stick of butter. You know, as an American, we put a stick of butter in there. What else? Baked beans. There we go. Again, put some baked beans on there. Does anyone put bacon on their jacket potato? I do. That's why we're Americans, you know. Anything else? Some onions, some chives. No? Coleslaw. What? Now we're getting silly now. Now we're just getting silly. No one puts coleslaw on. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to go somewhere else. So, but, you know, when you think about a potato and it's just, that's all it is, that's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. And you take it to the buffet or you're at someone's house and you just load up the blessings upon that. You just load it up with all these different things. And I think about, that's kind of how God describes the blessings that he pours out upon our lives, where he doesn't just have that life, but he says abundantly, abundantly, even in John 10:10, so you can live life to the full, where he's pouring this blessing upon us so much so that we can't even see the jacket potato anymore. It's just all of the stuff that's on top of it. And I think that's really how we as believers should approach life, knowing that God has provided all of these blessings that we don't deserve, but he's poured out all of these blessings upon us, that when we pray, When we pray, we have to come to the Lord with thanksgiving. We just have to. It's necessary. It's not that it's just necessary, but it's evident in our lives that when we look around to everything that we have in our lives, it is just a wonderful blessing from God. And so how would we then focus on the worry or the anxiousness in our life when all around us we see, here's that blessing, and here's that blessing, and I have so much to be thankful for. See, here's what I've discovered most of the time, especially as Christians. We get this attitude of me. We get this attitude that it's about me. You know, when I come to church, how are you going to serve me? And when I am a part of my family, what are you going to do for me? And when I work at a job, how can this serve me? And what we tell our kids is, okay, when you go out, be a blessing. Be a blessing to other people. Don't. It's not about you. You are in this situation to be a blessing to other people. Because many times we pray with the wrong attitude. We pray with the wrong attitude. We go to God and we ask Him for stuff. We don't focus on His glory, His majesty. We're not thankful for what we have. It's how can He do something for me? And then we wonder why God doesn't intervene or answer our prayers. I remember when I got my first digital camera, right? You're moving from film to digital. How many of you guys have digital cameras? Right? A few of you guys, because it's all on your phone now, right? You don't use a digital camera anymore. You're using it on your mobile phone, which is such a weird thing. I checked a couple days ago how many pictures I have on my computer. I have over 47,000 pictures on my computer. And that's not even counting my phone. My phone has like 10,000 more after that, and my wife has like 30,000 more. She like has so many pictures of just all the kids, and basically it's just them, you know, different poses of basically the same thing, you know, 100 pictures of one event. And it's just ridiculous. And I'm always telling my wife, we need to get rid of some of the, and, oh, no, that's heresy. You don't get rid of all these pictures. And I remember when I got this digital camera, I bought this computer specifically. It's a Mac. It's an Apple computer. And, you know, I was watching all the commercials. I believed in the propaganda. And it said that if I plug my camera in, it will automatically just download all the pictures. At that time, computers were like crazy. You know, it's like you had to have a PhD to operate a computer. And I didn't want to have to fool with that. And so I just said, well, I'll just buy a Mac. You know, they're a little bit more, but it will just automatically just work. If I get a PC, you know, I got to download all this stuff and I got to read the manuals and I got to figure out all this stuff. I don't have time for that. I got things to do. And so I did that. I bought a Mac and I bought this digital camera. I'm taking all these pictures, and it came time to download all of my pictures to my my computer. So I got the cord, got my camera, got everything all plugged in, ready to go, and then nothing. Nothing happened. And so I'm like, okay, I'm checking all the connections, looking at everything, looking at it, nothing happened. And then I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this computer. This computer is expensive and it's broken and I don't know what's happening, and I'm trying to figure out everything. And so now I'm reading all the manuals and I'm searching online and I'm trying to figure out why is this camera not downloading pictures to this computer that I specifically bought for this camera that should be working. And I spent literally half my day trying to figure out what the problem was. It was one of the most annoying things I've ever experienced in my entire life. And then I thought, well, maybe let me check the manual for the camera, because I was blaming the computer. So I was reading through the manual for the camera, and lo and behold, my camera was set to the wrong settings for not downloading. And I thought, and so I just pushed the button, and it just instantly just started downloading all the pictures to it. And I thought, if I just would have looked at the manual, you know, I would have gotten half my day back. Now, why am I telling you that silly nonsense story? For us as believers, we like to blame God, right? We pray, and we're asking, and we have something happening in our life. We have this worry build up in our life. We have this anxiousness building up, and we go to the Lord and we say, God, why are you not answering my prayers? God, why are you not intervening? What is happening? And so it's not our fault, it's God's fault. And so we go to the Lord basically with the wrong settings. And what does Paul admonish us to do as believers? He says you need to pray with thanksgiving. He starts off the passage, hey, don't be anxious about anything. But when you do pray, pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. It's amazing when you start listing out all of the blessings that God has provided for us. It really just kind of wipes away all of that worry and that anxiousness that is in our life. And so let me encourage you, when you pray, one of the very first things that you should do when you pray, you need to begin each prayer just by thanking God for the things he has done for you, whether present or even in the past. And then another thing that we're trying to teach our kids, and obviously it's one of those consistent sort of things, but each time that God blesses you with something, just thank him for it. Just thank him for it. You know, thank you for this blessing here, and thank you for that blessing here. Because it's amazing how it changes your life. It changes your outlook. I know that might be tough for some of you because the weather here is just so awful. But even then I pray and I say, hey, thank God for this terrible, terrible rain that will not ever end. So that's the second way. The third thing and how we as Christians can overcome worry. The first thing we know is praying about everything. We see that in verse 6. And then we pray with thanksgiving. That's also found in verse 6. But if we carry on in verse 7, Philippians chapter 4, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that third way we see as Christians overcoming worry is by praying and experiencing his guarding peace. By praying and experiencing, letting God just work in your life and experiencing his guarding peace. Now, mind you, I'm not talking about we're praying for his peace, even though we can do that. But what happens is when we pray verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4, the result is that he will pour out his guarding peace upon our lives. And as a result of that, we as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, will enjoy stability in Christ Jesus. Just like we talked about earlier, those storms of life that we go through, when we're approaching that storm, we're in that storm, we're coming out of that storm, we can have the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. We can't explain it. We can't figure it out. But that's one of those blessings that God pours out upon him. Why? Because we have a good understanding and implementation of verse 6. When I think about it, in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, you will keep me in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. The rock eternal. See, we as believers, we can enjoy stability during those times of need. In Psalm chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, it says, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And in Psalm 91, verse 15, it says, he will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That word trouble is this Hebrew word for distress, for anxiety, for need. So he says, he will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in distress and anxiety and need. I will deliver him and honor him. So we see that Christians, When we pray out to God and we ask him to intervene into our lives, he will guard us with that wonderful peace that transcends all understanding. And he will keep you through those times of need, through those times of distress. I think back to Robert Louis Stevenson. How many of you guys know who Robert Louis Stevenson is? A few of you guys. He wrote Treasure Island and The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I had to read that in high school. I didn't understand any of it. But I was reading a story about Robert Louis Stevenson. He had some ailments in his life. He eventually died from it. A lot of people thought it was tuberculosis, but now people are thinking it might have been some other lung disease that he had. And he actually was trying to escape the climate here to go to warmer climates. That was kind of the thing that you did back in those days, in Victorian times. And so he was going into the South Sea Pacific sort of area. And he was on a ship. And he was going to whatever destination he was going into this Pacific area. And a terrible storm arose. And it was beating down on the ship to the point where all of the passengers that had paid for this voyage to get to these islands, they thought the ship was going to be lost. It was going to be destroyed because the storm was so terrible. And they're all huddled together in their small little cabin. And they're just thinking this is going to be their last moments on Earth. And so eventually they got one guy, one man, and they said, why don't you go up to the upper deck, to the top, to see what's happening, because it's just rocking back and forth and they don't know what's happening. And so they elect one man to go up to the top to figure out what's happening, to talk to the captain, to get down to the bottom of what's going to happen. Is this it, or are they going to make it through? And so he's gone for a while. He's not back, and they're waiting. And then eventually he comes back, and they're asking him all these different questions, you know, what's happening here, what's happening here, what did the captain say? And he basically quieted down all their fears, and this is what he said. He says, I've seen the captain's face, and all is well. I've seen the captain's face, and all is well. Meaning that the captain up there was very calm, cool, and collected. He was giving out these orders, carrying out all the things that he had to do on the ship during that time. And he said, I've seen the captain's face, and all is well. And what I love about that, what I love about this example, is the fact that that is basically what our prayers do. That is basically what our prayers do. It allows us to catch that glimpse of the Heavenly Father. It allows us to be able to see kind of what God is doing in our lives. When we go to the Lord in prayer, when we have that great, great honor to be able to present our requests, to present our petitions with thanksgiving to the Lord, and know that God, in His wisdom, in His sovereignty, will intervene in our lives, will show Himself strong on our behalf, as it says many times throughout the Bible, and that we have seen the captain's face, and God has this taken care of. We don't have to worry about anything. And we think about those things that come up in our lives seemingly every month, every week. You know, those things out of nowhere that we get, like I said, a phone call, an email, and then we think, where do I turn? What do I do? You know, the moment that you're just catching your breath and you're like, how do I handle this? And let me just ask you and entreat you to go to the Lord in prayer. You know, before you think about anything, before you think, how am I going to take care of this? How am I going to handle this? Because that's often the way that we approach it. What am I going to do? Well, you don't have to do anything. You go to the Lord in prayer, and you pray about that. You do it with thanksgiving, and then you enjoy that guarding peace that surpasses all understanding. Not the peace that the world can give, but it's God's peace. So if you could with me, just let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to pray in just a moment. But before I pray, before I close this time with us together, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give you a moment right now. I know it might be a bit weird, but I am an American. I apologize. But I want to give you a moment just to pray to the Lord in your seat by yourself. And I know that many of you are struggling with something, and this is your chance just to give it to the Lord. And so I want you, just in your seat, if there's anything that you're thinking about, praying about, worried about, this is your chance to give it to the Lord. So if you could close your eyes, bow your head, I'm going to give you about 20 seconds, 30 seconds to pray, and then I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for every breath that you give us, every heartbeat that we have. We want to thank you for just the blessings that you pour out upon us each and every day. Some that we are very familiar with and some that we haven't even experienced yet. And you're constantly thinking of us, constantly taking care of us. And Lord, help us just to have that thankful heart, that thankful spirit, that in whatever situation that we are in, that we can praise you and honor you with our very lives, our very thoughts, and our actions. Lord, I pray that that we don't have to fear because we know that you've conquered it all and that you are in control. And I pray that in every situation that we're going through, that we can just humbly accept the fact that we can't control anything. But we don't have to because you are the Creator God. You are the sovereign. You are the one that has handled all things. And Lord, we just want to just give everything that we're going through to you. Lord, I don't know everyone's heart and minds here this morning, but I know in a congregation this size that I know that there are many people here that are struggling with some very serious issues. And Lord, I pray that you just please work in their lives. Put your hands and your arms around them. Let them know that you are taking care of them. Lord, we're so thankful that we can call you Father. We're so thankful that you take care of us each and every day. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work in our lives, continue to work in the life of this church, that they will be a lighthouse to this community and all that they do. And we are just so thankful that we can serve you. And we just ask these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.